Come on, good stuff. Yay, Jesus. One more thing. We don't have a sign up. I'm just kind of feeling it out, seeing who wants to possibly be a part. The last 7 years, we have done, we partnered with this church in Texas, and we've done this thing called EXO Marriage Conference. It's amazing. It's amazing. And, it's just getting tools for your marriage, for your family. We need tools, fresh tools every year. Amen. So we've been offering this conference. It's a simulcast, but we have been doing it the last couple of years. We've been doing it over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks, kind of breaking it down into a couple smaller groups. So if you are interested, I'm just kind of filling out the interest level before we get some set dates. So if you're interested, please talk to me, let me know, and we'll move forward with that or plan it for a later time if nobody can commit to it now. So, amen. And then lastly, there's been so much snow, praise Jesus, but it's kind of blocked our shed, so we haven't been able to get our Christmas stuff back into the storage shed. So we got a little bit of room, and we can open it up. So if there's anybody at the end of church that could help get this stuff into the shed out there, that would be much appreciated, and clear up this space so that life can continue. Amen. Awesome. I want to jump into this without further delay, because I do have a little message, and we'll just see where the Lord takes us. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already here. You're already working. And we just choose you today. We choose to lean into you, into your presence, into your goodness, into your love, Father. I just thank you so much. You're a good God. You're a good Father. And I love you, Lord, with all my heart. And I just pray your anointing and your grace on this message. And I thank you. Come on, just thank him. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I want to talk about something that has just been kind of near and dear to my heart lately. And I didn't get to share on this last week for obvious reasons. But I want to talk about prayer and fasting again. And we just finished a fast. We went from January 7th to the 27th. And I'd encourage you to jump into that some more. The one thing, there was many things that the Lord was showing me through it, but one of the big things is that the fasted lifestyle is the lifestyle of the kingdom. And if you want to walk in power, and if you want to see the miracles that you read about in books and in the Bible, then you need to have a fasted lifestyle. There's something so significant and so powerful about living a life separated unto God with a life of prayer and fasting. And God's he's just really been doing a number in my heart. And I took you to, a couple of weeks ago, I took you to many scriptures in Daniel. Maybe we'll revisit that soon. But Daniel was a man of fasting. And, how many want to see some lions' mouths completely shut up? like, well, I'm not in front of lions. Well, there's other things that are coming against you. There's other things that are trying to eat you up. And so don't you just want to see that the Lord himself shut those mouths and just be like, no, you're gonna be at peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I love that. Daniel 1:8, 12 through 15, Daniel 9:3, Daniel 10:3. We see it talks about him fasting continually, and there was miracles in his life, there was visions, there was signs and wonders. And so this is the life that I want for our church, and that I want for my family, that I want for myself. And I love the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, come on somebody, in fastings not sometimes. He says, in fastings often. in cold and in nakedness. I don't want that. But, but we've been cold, so we got some of that. But there's something so powerful. Even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6, the Beatitudes, he said, he didn't say, if you fast. He didn't say, if you decide to, if you choose to, if you feel like fasting. He actually says in Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18, when you fast. Hallelujah. And he is our example. And Jesus, we know that he fasted for 40 days, and then his ministry started. And then we see the incredible miracles, signs and wonders, and amazing things take place. Acts 13 and also Acts 14, we see incredible situations where the apostles were moved into a place of prayer and fasting because of their concern for the church. And so the Bible says that they prayed and fasted and they set in new leaders. They prayed and fasted. And so there's something powerful about this. Can you all agree? And, you know, I need the Lord in my life. I need his voice. I need the sharpening of the Spirit. And, you know, I used to think a long time ago that if I fast really hard and go a long time, that I'm moving heaven and earth. And I've come to realize that that is not what's happening at all. I'm not moving heaven and earth when I fast. You know what I'm moving? I'm moving me. I'm moving myself into a place where I'm able to hear him more clearly. And so it's you know, like trying to get 88.5 if you're still listening to FM radio. I prefer XM because you just get good signal all the time. But if you're still on FM and you're trying to get that radio station, it's like you hit a couple patches where it's like it goes to a Spanish station. You're like, what just happened? You know? And so you got to dial it in and find the exact frequency to hear what you want to hear. And the same is true in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God. Sometimes you have to dial it in a little more intense. And that's what fasting does. It pushes our flesh down. It's setting aside something that we want. I want those nachos. I want those chicken wings. I want that frozen yogurt, whatever it is. Like, I want that thing. It's setting aside something you want for something that you need, for someone that you need. Amen? And I need the voice of God in my life. Does anybody need the voice of God in their life? I heard this great illustration and story. There was two men cutting down trees. There was an older man and a younger man, and they were cutting down trees. And the younger man was so excited, and he had so much strength and so much energy. He was just going for it, just nonstop, just whacking down trees. And the older man was a little more precise and a little more focused in what he was doing. And at the end of every hour, he would sit down and take a little break. And then he would get back up and he would cut down more trees. And by the end of 8 hours, a full work day, the young man was frustrated at this older man that he was slacking off, that he was taking time in the work day to just sit down and take multiple breaks. And they counted the trees at the end and who had cut down more trees. And the old man had actually cut down more trees. And the guy's like, how is this even possible? I worked nonstop. I didn't stop for breaks. And the older man said, well, you think I was just taking a break, but every time I sat down, I sharpened my blade. And you see, this is what fasting does. Fasting allows you to rest. Prayer and fasting allows you to step back and rest and sharpen your blade. Because a lot of times we're trying to attack life. We're trying to attack prayer targets and attack this and attack that. And just we're just going after it because we're passionate people. But sometimes you just got to take a step back and rest. Rest and push down your desire for more things of the flesh and say yes to more things of the Spirit. When the world says that's crazy, but in the kingdom is the upside down kingdom. Come on. Right? And so it's giving up something in the physical because you need help in the spiritual. I need help in the spiritual realm. I don't want to do this thing in my own strength. I don't want to try to be a husband and a dad in my own strength because I fail miserably. I don't want to be a pastor in my own strength. I need help from on high. I need to hear his voice. And so do you. Come on, somebody. It links you to the supernatural realm. It links you to, if that word scares you, I'll just say, it links you to the invisible realm. Both are amazing. It links you to the invisible, to the spiritual, to the heavenly realm. It links you up to something because you're not focused on the your belly and the next thing that your belly wants. You're focused on, I just want Jesus. I just want him. I just want to press into him a little bit more. It's so powerful. And it's changed history. Like the greatest revivals have started with prayer and fasting. Jesus' ministry, I just said, started with prayer and fasting. Come on. And there's power. There is great power that it's made available. And there's great power, I would say, that it's only made available through prayer and fasting. You're like, well, that doesn't make sense. How is that New Testament? Well, look at Jesus. I love that there's this wonderful illustration, and it just ministers to me in Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, we see that the disciples are trying to cast out the devil, cast out the demon out of this person. And they're having no luck, right? You know the story. And they've had luck before. Like, they've seen the miraculous. They've seen the power of God. They've seen miracles. They're seeing the stuff that Jesus said they were going to see. But now they come in contact with something that's a little stronger, that's a little more potent, a little more ingrained in that person. And they can't cast it out. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and he rebukes it, and he casts it out. And he says something that's always just been so interesting to me and so profound. You know what he says. He says, this kind can come out only through prayer and fasting. Right? But the thing that I love about Jesus is that he didn't say that in the beginning. He didn't say, oh, you guys are having trouble. This kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. Give me 10 days. I'm gonna fast. I'm going to pray, and I'll be back, and I'll deal with this devil. No, he just deals with it because he had a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And so if there were like spiritual tanks inside of him and inside of us, many times they're on empty, or we're running on fumes. Like, I've done a lot of traveling overseas, and it's so funny. You know, you're in taxis, and the taxi just sometimes just stop because they're out of gas. And the taxi driver's like, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, you need gas, bro, you know. And they have like this dumbfounded look. It's happened to me in India. It happened to me in Mongolia. Happened in Tibet. They just have the dumbfounded look, like they have no idea how this could happen to them. But you have to put fuel in your tank, right? And you keep it on full. And so Jesus, if there was a spiritual tank inside of him, he lived a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. He constantly withdrew from the people, the multitude, even his disciples, to spend all night in prayer. He would fast in those times. He fasted for 40 days. And so his tanks were full. And so when he came to an impossible situation, it wasn't impossible. And he said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting, which I live. I do. Come out. I don't think you're getting me. It's an impossible. There's impossible situations in our life, and I'm just tired of like just saying nice, sweet prayers over people and seeing nothing happen. I want to see demons cast out. I want to see demons cry and flee, and scream and get the heck out. And I want to see people set free in the name of Jesus. Mountains bowing down, addiction. Like, I can't tell you how many people in this area alone, Mammoth and Bishop, are addicted to some sort of drugs, addicted to alcohol. You know, just, I shared this a couple weeks ago, just a wonderful young gal that Heather and I were her youth pastors, and she died of alcohol addiction. You know, it's not just the drugs, it's alcohol, it's liver failure at 30 years old. And it's just heartbreaking. And so it's like, Lord, I want to see those kind of people set free. I want to see real freedom in the Eastern Sierras. I want to see fear and anxiety, spirit of fear, spirit of anxiety. I want to see it cast out and broken. The chains, it's if we're under a spirit of fear, we're not under the umbrella and the banner of love. The fear drives you and love leads you. Come on. And I'm so sick and tired of the devil messing with people. And I've just been rereading a lot of amazing old books. And this one is so good. It's called The Price of God's Miracle Working Power. Come on, somebody. And it's written by a great guy that I love in church history. His name's A.A. Allen. And A.A. Allen he did big tent meetings. And the Lord really got a hold of his life. He was a raging alcoholic and no education, and he got miraculously healed, saved, set free, delivered. And he started preaching, and the power of God would show up. And he was seeing salvations like crazy. But he wasn't satisfied because there was so many people leaving his meetings and leaving his prayer times not healed. And so he just said, I just want to press into the more of God. And so this book talks about the steps that he took. And one of those things that he lays out is fasting. And so he began to live a life of fasting and prayer and fasting. And it's the bread and butter of Christianity. Like, if you want to walk in power, if you want to see demons flee, if you want to see crazy miracles that make your jaw drop to the floor, then we have to get back to what the apostles did in the book of Acts. Like, if they saw miracles and they lived a life of fasting and prayer, like, why shouldn't we? Come on. Even if it's like, I'm not saying like fast, do a 40-day fast, then eat for 2 days, then do another. I'm not telling you to do that, but incorporate it into your, just make it natural. Be supernaturally natural. And so it's like, maybe you fast 1 day a week. Just take 1 day, and where you're giving the Lord extra time to move and to speak. Whether, and you're like, well, I can't do that right now. Okay, give him a meal. Give him one meal a day. And that, just fast breakfast or fast lunch. Like, what would happen if we just gave him more time? He would speak. Come on. It's that old song I think Oral Roberts used to sing. He's a speaking Jesus. if you've never heard it, it's a good old gospel song. He is a speaking Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. He's a speaking Jesus. He loves his church, amen. And but this A. Allen, the miracles that begin to happen in his life are incredible. And one, there's this one great testimony. You can go. Maybe we'll play it next week or sometime. It's like a 13-minute video, but you can find it on YouTube. It's told by R.W. Shambach, and he is an amazing man of God. He was actually the worship leader in the A.A. Allen tent meetings. And he would help bring people up on stage and help call out some of the miracles. But he would lead people in praise and worship. And later the Lord came upon his life greatly, and he had a healing ministry. And so this was well after A.A. Allen was with Jesus. And R.W. Shambach sharing this testimony, and it's this amazing testimony. It's called, you could look it up, YouTube, R.W. Shambach and the 26th Miracle Testimony. 26 miracles. There was this baby that was brought to the meeting that was totally deformed, was blind, had club feet, like organs were on the outside, some of the organs were on the outside of the body. I mean, everything that there was 26 things that were wrong with this child, and they said the child wouldn't live past the age one, and all these things, and this mom was desperate for a miracle, and so she brings her baby from Tennessee to Alabama to come to the tent meeting for a miracle, and nothing is happening. Her child's not being touched, it's not being healed all week long, and it's a week-long camp meeting, and on the last night, and R.W. Shambach had talked to this woman the night before, and she just said, my baby needs a miracle. I just need him to be healed. And he said, well, if he doesn't call it out, if something doesn't happen, I'm gonna drag you to his room afterwards. I'm gonna make him pray for you, and you're gonna get a miracle. But he was believing that something was gonna happen in those meetings, and she was asking for help. She had been there for a week. She's like, I've spent my money on hotels, on food. I have nothing. All I have is $20 left to my name, and I just want a miracle. So he hears this, R.W. Shambach, and they begin the meeting the next night, and A. Allen starts preaching, and he feels led by the Lord to take an offering of faith, and for those that are believing for a miracle. And so they come, and people come to the front, and R.W. Shambach is leading worship. I just felt like I wanted to share this, so just bear with me for a minute. So he's on the stage singing, and leading people in praise and worship, and he sees the woman come up front and drop some money in the bucket. And so he kind of, being nosy and wanting to know what's going on, he leans over, and he sees her last $20 in the bucket. And he just said, oh, I feel like the Lord's going to do something tonight. And A.A. Allen begins to preach, and all of a sudden he gets a word of knowledge. He begins to move with strong word of knowledge. And he said, I see there's a woman in this place. And I see, and he begins to lay out exactly when she was in the hospital building and who was around her in the hospital. And when her child was born with 26 diseases and infirmities and complications, and he lays out everything that happened, and he said, and then this woman, I see her traveling from Tennessee to Alabama, and I see, and he said, and you're here tonight, and he said, tonight your child is going to get 26 miracles. Amen. And the boy, like, they bring him up, and they pray for him. They pray for the boy, and you can see it on YouTube. It's a wonderful testimony, and it's documented. This is 1956 or 57, and he gets completely healed. There's his eyes. They said the eyes were totally glossy, white, milky, couldn't see any pupil, and eyeballs formed. Whoosh, club feet, no feet, clubbed feet, and feet came. Come on, like, this is the stuff you can't make up. And in the presence of God, he goes on to preach, the presence of God was so strong in that meeting. A. Allen, now there's real faith in the room, and there's a whole row of people in wheelchairs, 12 people in wheelchairs, and he just looks over, he says, get up, and all 12 get up. He said he'd never seen a meeting like this where 100 literally, and they documented with all the cards, because the people after would fill out, and so 100% of the people that came in with illness or sickness were healed. 100%. And that is amazing. And it doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes it's 1 out of 10, and I praise God for 1 out of 10. I praise God for anything that happens. But when it happens on that scale, you know the Lord's doing something. And I love it, because R.W. Shambach talked about that. A. Allen talks about that. But what he says is it all comes back to denying yourself, picking up your cross, and pursuing Jesus. If you want to see miracle working power, then you need to begin to lean into him a little bit more. And you'll see the mountains of sickness, the mountains of infirmity, the mountains of relational issues, the mountains of whatever it is, bow to the feet of Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I want for our church. I don't want to be just a happy, good little, you know, Little House on the Prairie church, which I love that show. It's a great show. You know, there was something so sweet about Little House on the Prairie. It's so innocent. We were watching Anna Green Gables, and the other night my wife just loves that movie, and I love it too. And I love it because it's so pure and so innocent, and it just reminds me of when things were just not complicated. And people just loved each other and loved the Lord. And there's just a sweetness about it. And but all that to say is I don't want to just be a nice little House on the Prairie church. I want to walk in the power of God. And I want to see people that are struggling with addictions and alcoholism and on meth and come in here and just get set free. Come on. Isaiah 58 talks about fasting. You know, there's lots of it talks about fasting from beginning to the end of the book. But Isaiah 58 is an incredible portion of scripture. And in my Bible, maybe it says it differently in yours, but in mine, right above Isaiah 58, says fasting that pleases God. And so it starts the first few verses. It talks about fasting that is all about self and just full of pride. Look at me, and why isn't this happen? Why aren't they looking and all this? And many times people do that, and it's rooted in self. And I love what he says in verse 5. It is a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head like a bulrush, to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? It's about humbling ourselves. Fasting has to do with denying yourself. When you deny your flesh, you deny what you think you need for what you really need. It's humbling yourself. Amen. He rejects the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I need some grace in my life. Anybody else? I'll just read the rest of that because it's so good. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. That's our heart. I know that's your heart. Maybe there's somebody in your family that's just struggling with an addiction and with some kind of mental torment. And we just want to see them free, right? To let the oppressed go free, that you would break every yoke. Every yoke. Not just one yoke. Not just one thing in our community. Every yoke that is of the devil, let it be broken in Jesus' name. That's my heart. And that you would bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you would cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall call, and he will say, "Here I am." Thank you, Lord. There is a fast that we need. There is a fast that our community needs. Because there is so much brokenness in our community. And like I said, it's not moving heaven and earth. It's moving you. It's moving you into a place of prayer. We're not just on hunger strike. We're not just trying. It's not just the new fad. It's not just the new diet, you know, which that's like everybody's talk about in the, you know, in the health world. Oh, fasting, you know, intermediate fasting. It's good for you. It's proven. But we're not just fasting to look good. And to lose a couple extra pounds that we gained over the holidays. It is for spiritual significance. And we're pushing into the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's not always easy. It's really not easy. But there are people that are desperate. Like, they're just desperate. I've seen people walk into churches for as long as I've been saved. You know, it's like there are always those that, you know, get their miracle or get saved, and it's just awesome. But then there's those that come in, and you just see a look of desperation. And you see, like, you know, I was hoping to get healed today. I was hoping to receive today. Like, they're just desperate for something. And if we don't have it, like, then they're just going to go to the doctor and get a bunch of medication. Or go to, you know, their Buddhist friend and get a bunch of curses, you know, right? And so I just think we need to step up our game, because our world is, if there was ever a time in church history where we needed to come back to the book of Acts, it's now. John chapter 12 is a great portion of scripture. John chapter 12. Let's see here. This is Jesus talking, and he said, you know, because fasting is denying yourself. It's dying to yourself, amen? It's not easy, but I don't want the easy road all the time, and neither do you. But Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So powerful, Lord. I love that, though. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And just, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that little seed. Sometimes there's seasons of my life where I feel like, and I know all of you can attest to this too, like you're a part of something that just feels so, whether it's in church or it's in business or it's in whatever it is, there's different things in our lives where we feel like we're a part of something that's just, it's just massive. And there's life on it. And then all of a sudden, we're not. And we feel like we're alone. And you feel like, and this is exactly what happens to the fruit and to the seed. It falls off the tree and it's like, wait a minute, I was doing good. I was a part of this big thing. There was lots of life. And then all of a sudden, it's not on it anymore and it goes into the ground and it hits this hidden season. A season that is, it's like you feel buried. You feel alone. You feel desperate. Like, does anybody see me? Does anybody know what I'm going through, right? Anybody ever been there? And then it's like in that hiddenness, in that aloneness, in that covering, all of a sudden that shell begins to crack and die. And new life begins to burst forth. And so in your pain and in your suffering, there's life. And Jesus never said there wasn't going to be suffering. He actually said there will be suffering. And he said there will be persecution. There will be. You can count on it. But there is life. I feel like there's new life that he's wanting to pull and extract from this season, even during this last 2 years. I love popcorn. I mean, I love popcorn. I just enjoy popcorn at the movies. I like getting bags of popcorn at the health food store. You know, the good stuff, organic, whatever. I just eat it all up. I'm just like, man. And me and my kids, we just go through a whole thing in one setting. But it's just good. I love some good buttery, salty popcorn. But you know what I don't do when I'm watching a movie is I don't just pour, kernels into a bowl and just start eating kernels and break your teeth, right? It is not ready. It's not ready to be consumed unless, and this is interesting, unless you add a little fire and you add a little oil. You add a little fire, and fire isn't exactly comfortable. It's not comfortable. It can be painful. But the cross isn't comfortable. The cross of Christ was not comfortable. It was painful. It was painful. And I just feel like there's a fire. There's a fire of God that needs to come upon the church again. And it's not to run away from suffering. It's to embrace it. But fire alone just burns you to a crisp. It's fire and oil. And see, the oil to me represents the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you got, if you just pour, we do it the old-fashioned way, you do it on the stove, and you pour kernels in there with no oil, and they just get burned to a crisp, and you have a fire, right? But you put some coconut oil in there or some other kind of oil, and it is the olive oil, whatever, and it's the perfect ingredients for amazing popcorn. So you can endure the suffering. You can endure pushing down your flesh when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, the oil of God in your life. And so are you dripping with oil? Don't be on fire without the power of the Spirit. Right? I've seen people that are passionate for Jesus, and then you can lean into a place of legalism without the Holy Spirit. And then you just, everybody around, you're like, man, I feel like fried by you. Like you're burning me up, man. I need some of that oil. And so this is what we need. This is what the seed needs. This is what our popcorn needs. I just love fun illustrations. But Jesus even said, what did he say? Your life is going to be fun and it's going to be easy and don't worry about anything. No, he said a strong statement that I take to heart. And it's this: pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. But you don't know what that person did, Lord. Pick up your cross and follow me. You don't know. You don't understand. But that. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself and follow me. And sometimes it's the most hard thing for an individual to do. Look at the rich young ruler. I think he could have been an amazing disciple. Like, I think we could have had a whole chapter about his life, but he couldn't do that thing. Jesus said, yeah, you know the commandments. You know all these things. You know them by heart, but one thing you lack: sell all your possessions to the poor, pick up your cross and follow me. And he's like, that hurts, Lord. Why? Because money was his God. Money was his Lord. He was religious. He knew the formulas. He knew how to say things and sound like a Christian. But at the end of the day, money was what he was serving. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, pick up your cross and follow him. Fasting is, it's so powerful. It breaks the control of the flesh over our soul. And our flesh is strong. It's loud, right? It wants to talk, you know. It's, I want this. Give it to me. You know, our body, your body's talking. But fasting and prayer, it pushes down. And it not just pushes down, but it breaks the control. I don't want to be controlled by my flesh. I don't want to be controlled by my emotions. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. It's not wrong to enjoy and love food. God gave us food. I love it. I mean, I could count the things that I love about food. I love Thai food and sushi, and I mean, just a good steak. I mean, come on, somebody. I love food, but I love Jesus more, and I'm just desperate for Him, right? And don't let your emotions aren't bad. We God gave us emotions, but don't make all your decisions based on what you feel that moment. That's not biblical. That's not Christian. If we feel something and we're like, oh, I gotta just do it, whether it's happy, sad, mad, whatever, that's not the Lord. It's good to feel whatever you're feeling, but process it with Scripture, process it with the Lord, process it with a mature believer. And then kind of see where that's at. Amen? Because sometimes the emotions are for 5 minutes and then they kind of die down. And you're like, well, I'm not feeling that anymore. Okay. Well, you just said a lot of stuff. Psalm 69, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. David fasted a lot, and there was breakthrough that came to his life through prayer and fasting when he didn't know what to do and when all hell was breaking loose. And we see he maintains this posture of prayer and fasting. And it's, you know, a lot of times we feel in our taking up our cross, in our fasting, we feel, you can feel broken. You can feel misunderstood. You can feel a lot of things as you begin to pursue the Lord. I'm not saying that as you begin to fast and pray, it's just it's like wham, bam, you're on your track to heaven. It's no, there's going to be seasons of misunderstanding. There's going to be seasons of doubt and fear. There'll be things that will come, strong emotions that could come upon you, and feelings of brokenness and feelings of I can't do this, right? Upon all of us, we're all human beings. But I love this promise, and I've held to this promise for as long as I can remember. And it's this, Psalm 34:18, one of my favorites. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to the brokenhearted, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. And I just hold on to that. If my heart is feeling overwhelmed and broken, he's with me. He's always with me, but I just, sometimes whether it's you've lost a loved one, it almost feels like the Lord just literally walks up to you and puts like a warm winter coat on you. It's like, man, I knew you were with me, but you're like with me. Like, I can't, you're like really with me. And I just want to say that even as you pursue Christ with everything in you and it feels like there's suffering and it feels like there's brokenness, the promise is I'm with you. I'm with you. Come on. And fasting, lastly, fasting, and I think I've kind of said this already, but fasting is not just a diet. It's always, biblical fasting is always linked to prayer. It's always linked to prayer. And let's see here. It's in there somewhere. Joel. You can just write that down. Joel. Oh, there it is. Joel chapter 2. Talks about fasting. That's a lot to read. But it talks about the whole chapter of chapter 2. Talks about the Lord moving. Talks about repentance. Talks about prayer and fasting. It's an incredible portion of Scripture. And then we have the famous portion that we love to read. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's what we want. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit. Do I have any men servants and maid servants? And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. I love this, but it starts, before we get to that scripture that we love, it starts with, in the context of prayer and fasting. And so prayer is always linked with fasting. And so I just want to encourage you to have a lifestyle of prayer. The Lord is calling us into the more of the Spirit, into the more of God, and our friends need it, our family need it, our own hearts need it. Like if there's something that you've been struggling with, you're like, I just can't get free of this addiction. I can't get free of looking at this thing online. I can't get free of this lust. I can't get free of whatever it is. Like maybe, what do they say? The definition of insanity is continually doing the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result. And so maybe it's time to do something biblical. If you want to see biblical results and biblical freedom, maybe we need to press into what Jesus said we do. And that's a life of prayer and fasting. And I guarantee you, as it says in Isaiah 58, I guarantee you, you will see chains of addiction break. You'll see it in your children, in your own life, in your marriage, and you'll you'll change. That's the biggest thing. Like, we want everybody else to change, but when we fast, we change. And we draw closer. We begin to look more like him. And, oh, we need that. And just to close this out, three things just to, that are good to pray. There's all kinds of things. And as you fast and as you pray, you know, the Lord highlights so many things and so many people, and you can hone in on things, and it's just, it's beautiful. But three things that are powerful. If you don't know what to pray, you can start here. As you pray and fast, pray this. Say, make me bold. Make me bold. Because there's something about boldness. Amen. The righteous are as bold as a lion, not as a little kitten. I mean, kittens can be feisty and they could scratch up pretty good, but I'm not scared of a kitten. But lions, I've seen lions in Africa and they're intimidating. And I was in a big vehicle, and my guy, the tour guide, driver guy, had a huge gun, and I was still intimidated by these massive lions, and their roar. One of them roared, and it's like, oh my God, makes the hair on your arms stand up. There's no joke. And there were lions back then in biblical times, right? And the Lord says, the righteous, us, you and I, we are as bold as a lion. Come on. And so I would just say, pray for boldness. And I see this in the Apostle Paul in the early church. They were just bold. Whether persecution came, whether anything, good, bad, indifferent came at them, they were bold and they saw miracles and they saw the Lord add to the church daily. Come on. So that's a prayer you could pray as you fast. Lord, make me bold. Make me bold. And the second thing is, speak to me. He's a speaking Jesus. You need direction for your life. You need to know what this upcoming season is supposed to look like. Just say that. Just, Lord, speak to me. Like, and he will. Come on. He will. He is so good. And you know, like, and if you're not in tune with his voice, you know, start in the scriptures. Just read the word and get to know his voice better. And then as you pray, just say, Lord, speak to me. Quiet down and just listen. Just listen. And then if that's hard for you, sit down, get a piece of paper, just start writing down. Many times I'll do this. If I feel like distracted in as I'm praying, if I feel like I can't hear him quite clearly as I'm praying, I will sit down and I will write my prayers. I literally write what I'm praying, and then I pause for a minute and I write down what the Lord's speaking to me. And then I read it to myself, and it sets me free. Come on. Learn the voice of God. And just say that as you're fasting, as you're praying. Lord, speak to me. There's big decisions that need to be made. I need you. Lord, speak to me. Hallelujah. And then the third thing and last thing, and obviously this isn't the only things that you need to be praying, but sometimes we just need a little direction. And then this opens up a bunch of stuff. But the last thing is, God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. Break my heart for what breaks your heart. And you'll be surprised at what he begins to show you. And the people that he begins to put on your heart and lays on your heart. And the things that are breaking his heart this current moment, you'll be surprised. And weep for what he weeps for. Amen. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for our church, Lord, and I thank you that you are calling us deeper. You're calling us higher, Lord. You are our teacher. You're our Savior. You're our King. You're our Lord, but you're also our Rabbi. You're our teacher, and we want to follow you. We want to follow your example. We want to go where you're going. We want to say what you're saying. We want to do what you're doing. We will follow you, Jesus. And I just feel like there's some in this room, like you love God, but you're kind of like those that have come, like the big group, the 5,000. You sit in a big group and you watch Jesus from a distance and you love him and you like his teaching and you like everything about him. But I feel like there's coming this more intimate moment where Jesus came to the fishermen and he said, drop your nets and follow me. And today you will be my disciples. I feel like there's some in this room where Jesus is coming a little bit closer and he's saying, I love you and I know you love me. But drop what you're doing, pick up your cross and follow me. Wherever that leads. So Lord, I just pray, confirm that with the individuals that you're speaking to right now. I just thank you for disciples, not just converts, not just people that love you from a distance, love you on the mountaintops, but I thank you for disciples. Lord Jesus, and I just pray, take us deeper. Deeper in your love, deeper in the Spirit, deeper in the power of God, deeper with you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, wonderful Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, and I just pray that this church would be saturated with the oil of God, with the oil of heaven. Yeah, the fire of God and the oil of God. Fire and oil. You put a little oil on the fire and it burns brighter. So, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. Bless every person today. Bless every home, every family, every heart. And I just thank you for restoration. I thank you for reconciliation. I thank you for healing and deliverance. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? I was going to call Patrick up, but I just felt like we're good. Sometimes you just need to just land. I felt like the wheels on the airplane coming out. We just need to land. So you could just lay hands on the person next to you, grab hands, and just bless them as we close today. Just pray over them. Bless them in the name of Jesus. This passion, let God be with you today. Stay great. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and if you can help after you're done praying, if you can help move some Christmas tubs.